Our gospel text in the 17th chapter, a series of teachings, of parables, as Jesus makes his way from up in the Galilee down to Jerusalem and to the cross. So this brief story, we hear with the Spirit is saying to the church, Jesus says, he asks, who among you, can you imagine that any of you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once, take your place at the table. Would you not rather say to your slave, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, gird yourself, tuck up the end of the long loose garment in your girdle so the garment does not hinder your work or get soiled, and serve me while I eat and drink, and then later on you may eat and drink. Do you thank your slave for doing what was commanded? Well, so you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we have been ordered to do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So a number of English translations of this particular text will translate the Greek word doulos as servant. But Jesus is speaking to a real lived experience here in the first century, in which case the people who are hearing this text will know that the word doulos means slave. Slave is exactly what we would imagine to be. It is a loss of anything and everything you could imagine you might perhaps desire, your freedom, your liberty, your choices in life, your very name. Slaves at this time would be marketed just as much as any product would in a grocery store. You have a price on the neck of the doulos. People bargain for the particular product. The buyer then takes the product, the commodity, home, bores a hole in the ear of the doulos so that therefore there may be a ring inserted with the name of the owner and people know to whom this doulos, this slave, belongs. The very name of the doulos is eliminated, so no longer is this doulos known as John or Mary. This is now the slave of Mr. Jones, the slave of Mr. Smith. The slave is now totally under the command and the orders of the owner. The owner says, you need to get up at 5 o'clock and do such and such. You get up at 5 o'clock and you do such and such. If the owner demands that the doulos get up at midnight and chop wood, you get up at midnight and you chop wood. So loss, loss, and loss. Property, name, identity, everything. You are now simply in the hands of the master, lock, stock, and barrel. So now, you see, Jesus asks the rhetorical question, do any of you, can you imagine that you would have your slave, your doulos, come in from the fields where they have been at work, and you would invite them to dine at your table and to eat first? Well, you're just going to be met with a roaring howl of laughter. It is so ridiculous and so absurd. You know, the slave must come in from the field, wash up, prepare a meal, serve the meal, clean up the meal, and after the master has gone to bed, then if there's any leftovers, then that's for the slave to perhaps munch on. Period. You're a slave, and only a slave, and that is the end of it. Just so, says Jesus. See, now this is where the parables always turn upside down and they bite you. You know, just so with you, when you have done what you have been commanded to do, when you have done what you've been ordered to do, when you have fulfilled the mandate of what it means to be a follower of Christ, you simply say, we're just unworthy doulos. We are unworthy slaves of Jesus Christ. We have just done only what we are asked to. We're not looking for any badges, no certificates, no awards, no medals, no bonus. We have just done what we were commanded to do. So, of course, what are we commanded to do? Well, of course, to love one another, as we might perhaps, we start with saying, as much as you love yourself, you love others. We are to bow, to defer before others, to kneel before others. You are to figuratively wash the feet of others. We are to forgive others before they repent. We do not ask for an apology, demand an apology. Somebody offends us, we forgive them before there is any repentance or apology. Well, we got a long list of things. It's a little disconcerting to, first of all, have these commands that we find very challenging to fulfill, but then if we do fulfill them, and we do periodically, it is more disconcerting to discover that we're slaves, we're doulos, exactly the way Jesus is describing them here in the first century world. I like the word servant better. That still is kind of subservient, but at least I don't feel like I'm just totally under the ownership of somebody else. But that's what it means to be a doulos, a servant, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. You are transferring ownership from the so-called kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are all born into the kingdom of darkness, to use the figurative language here. So then people want to use the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of sin. We're born into a kingdom of self-centeredness. Whether we like that or not, whether we believe it or not, that is fact. We are hardwired to take care of me, myself, and I, first and foremost, before anything else. That's just the way we are born. So, therefore, things that benefit me, things that are going to advance my agendas, things that are going to promote my self-interest, are going to be at the top of my list of things to do and things to say. But, see, the problem is, it's kind of like being on a sinking ship that's about to go under. And so what does the captain do? Well, the captain, in effect, says, hey, all of you, those of you who are in second-class citizenship, you all can move up to first-class citizenship. In fact, you can dine at the buffet as much as you want. You'd like a drink at the bar? Help yourself. You want to use the dance floor for a soccer game? Help yourself. Destroy any lamps or property? No worries. It's all on us. Wow, what a nice captain. Great guy. We get to do whatever we want to do. Yes, this is the kingdom of darkness. Of course, they're all going to die shortly thereafter. So we are, in the biblical phraseology, we are lost in the kingdom of darkness to ourselves. We don't even perceive that we're lost. We perceive we're having a great time. And people who treat us in the way that allows us to do what we say, to do what we want to do, and say what we want to say, those are wonderful people. Those are great people. Those are nice people. Students know about that in high school. They love the nice teachers. When they get to college, they regret having the nice teachers. But the teachers who demanded things of them, they now are thankful for. It's just like that in life, anywhere. It could be a coach, it could be a manager, it could be a supervisor. It doesn't mean you have to be hard-hearted Hannah. It doesn't mean you have to have people in the Delta death grip of life. It simply means that there are things that need to be done in order for the benefit of all. These are commands, these are mandates, these are orders so that we all might grow, we might all advance, we may all be enriched. So the question is, how do you get from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? So, you only have to do one thing. You just have to die. That is very simple. So, it goes like this. You want to become an American citizen, but we're going to change the laws. You can now, in this new scenario, become an American citizen only by being born on American soil. So in other words, we're eliminating naturalized citizenship. There's no residency period. There's no citizenship classes. There's no test. No, you're either born in American soil or you're not. It's an either or. So you show up at the immigration office. Hi, I would like to become an American citizen. Wonderful. And you were born where? Toronto, Canada. Well, I'm sorry, but you have to be born on American soil to become an American citizen. Well, yeah, okay, but see, I really, really want to be an American citizen. You said you were born where again? Toronto, Canada. Well, okay, so let me restate this. You have to be born on American soil in order to become an American citizen, so I really can't help you. But I really, really, truly, truly, it's my heart's desire. Well, okay, then here's what I'm going to suggest. You simply go die, okay, and then you get born again, but make sure when you get born again, you're on American soil, then you can qualify to become an American citizen. It's very simple, right? You're either born again on American soil or in the life of Christ, or you're just lost in the hands and the grip of darkness, of selfishness, of self-centeredness. The only way is to die. And then you will experience life in light, life in the hands of Jesus, life where you have now new commands, new orders for, we're going to say, an enriched life. Well, okay, so I'm wondering here how I'm going to do that. You only have to die. That's what Jesus did. He died and he was resurrected. So there's a solution here. And that is, what you can do is you can trust and believe, if you will, in the death of Jesus on the cross. He is going to, quote, die for our sins. Well, that's an abstract idea that cross needs a lot of unpacking, but he dies on the cross for our sins, and he is resurrected. So there's going to be a solution here to go from life, death, resurrection. So that's the only sequence that gets you there. You can't live and then pass away. You can't live and then be called to the garden or something. You have to use the word death. I know that's hard. I know that's difficult. I know we're schooled in our culture not to ever, ever talk about death, never to recognize death, but we're Christians. We're not afraid of that word because the only way to life in the light of the kingdom is through death. You have to die. So when your neighbor or friend or spouse or child dies, they die. It's hard to say that. I know that. That's why we do this, don't we? That's why we do this. We have a whole ritual, ceremony, a sacrament. Yes. So, what we have here is water, right? And we have words. Now, you are about to see a miracle happen. I have a dollar on my person. So you can testify to Pamela that you saw the miracle that I actually had a dollar on me. Yes. She will not believe you, but I'm trusting that we got 30, 40 witnesses here. This is paper and sort of a greenish ink of some sort. The paper... you could buy more paper than this for a penny. The green ink, I don't know what that's worth at all, but this is pretty much borderline worthless. Aha. But you can take this worthless piece of paper and green ink. You can go to the dollar store, or you can go down to Shop and Save, and you can walk out of those stores with a bag of goods. With this, well, maybe it's a small bag. You can walk away with something. It has value. Yeah, it says right here, it says that this is backed by the Federal Reserve of the United States of America, and therefore it has value to it. But in and of itself, its intrinsic value is pretty much zero. That's why it's not worth carrying around, you see? We have here water. Yes. Now, just so you all know, this ordinary water we put in here, it's It's just water from the kitchen tap. It's not like some special water from the Jordan River or anything that's kind of holy or something. It's just ordinary water. And just to disabuse you of any other thoughts, it's just an ordinary human, two-legged, two-armed being. Nothing special. And the words are just words we kind of read out of a book that we're asked to read. So the water and the person and the words, they're not worth a whole lot, actually. I think all the minerals in my water might total 98 cents, and that's probably about it. But this ritual is backed by Jesus Christ. See, it's not a nice ritual, a nice time for music, a nice time for babies, a nice time for a show, a nice ceremony. No, this is a sacrament. This is a life-changing moment where one is transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Aha! I thought you had to die for that. Ah, yes, you see, we do. So you figuratively drown in the waters, but you know, we don't use a lot of water here to drown the child, the baby, the person, but figuratively. So you come from the kingdom of darkness, of selfishness, of self-centeredness. You die in the water, you drown, and you emerge on the other side. You are raised up and resurrected. So one person recommended that we change the wording in the book. And they said, what you should do so people get it is you say, when you get the baby and you have the water, and you bring them out, you say, you know, you say like you're baptized in the name of, you say, I kill you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I make you born again in the life of Jesus Christ. That's very different. Probably not really something people want to hear, but it does work. It does get the point across, right? It is backed, words and water. Ordinary words, ordinary water, by an ordinary human being are backed by the power of the Spirit that transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Presto, we have new life. Oh, but now we get to be doulos in the kingdom of light. So we're now under new rulership, new ownership, new commands, new mandates. And we are called to fulfill those. And when we do, we are nothing special. We simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, neighbors, friends, brothers, and sisters, I am just an unworthy doulos, an unworthy slave of Jesus Christ. I have just simply fulfilled what I was commanded to do in his name.